And somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. Always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
And welcome. Welcome to On the Real Side, December the 7th, 2016. I'm Emmett Abati-Doe. Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works. Everything you understand will only confuse you. My mission is to teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved. And I'm a river that nurtures both banks. On the Real Side is dedicated to replacing the universal system of white supremacy, white domination, white subjugation, with a universal system of justice. Justice is better than white supremacy. For a comment or a question, email DOE, D-O-E at ontherealside.com or at emmettabatidoe@gmail.com. And visit our sponsors at ontherealside.com and at Stork Reality, StorkReality.com. And that ain't right. No black men working. And I want to direct your attention to the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993 at the edcuinc.com website and also at ontherealside.com. A response, a feasible, a workable solution to an institutionalized, mandated, and maintained dilemma. Of stagnating and strangling PMIAs from the very resources that the society requires to have a decent life. And for our new listeners, PMIA is an acronym for the People Made in America that I devised to help me understand the distinction, help me to think through seeing so many black faces around, but they weren't of my people. They weren't the descendants, the direct descendants of those captured and enslaved prisoners of war that they arrogantly call their slaves. No, I found that so many people who looked like me came from other places. They had other indoctrinations, other priorities, other sensibilities, different than PMIAs. So I'm able to think through the distinction between someone who looks just like me from Honduras, just like me from Jamaica, just like me from Africa, just like me from wherever, who have learned how to pretend to be my people and take full advantage of all of the benefits that we allegedly earned as a consequence of what masqueraded as a movement, as a struggle, as a revolution even, but in fact was all theater. So PMIA helps me to make that distinction and to be clear as to what is realistic to expect from someone who comes from someplace else, who can send a package home. If you can't send a package out of the United States to home, you are PMIA. And if you can, you are a descendant of an immigrant. And that places you in a totally different category. It's like having a conversation about breakfast. And you're sitting down having a conversation about breakfast. You're a chicken. You're sitting down with a pig and a chicken discussing breakfast. And a pig and a chicken do not have the same vested interest in breakfast as the pig. The pig is breakfast. The chicken contributes to breakfast, laying an egg, bacon and eggs, right? So oftentimes, PMIAs find themselves in conversation and in alliance with chickens, having a serious conversation about breakfast, but they're not aware of it. Because without the words, without the distinction, without the understanding of the difference, we have been tricked. So many, many, many times. So the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993 is a plan that any group can utilize. But I developed it because I believe that you have to go beyond just talking about the problem. You have to go beyond just being aware of the problem. My position is that if you're smart enough to know what the problems are, then you also should be smart enough to come up with solutions. Not perhaps the solution, but plausible, workable, doable solutions. So hence the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993, which would empower our people and empower our community to address the deliberate, consistent program of racism that denies us the means in which to live a decent life. But they place drugs and they place other things convenient to criminalize a people, as they have criminalized other groups of people that they have subjugated. Ask the Irish about their story. Ask the Irish how drugs in the form of whiskey was used by the Anglo-Saxons to pacify that population, and the devastation that alcohol and alcoholism has visited upon the Irish people to this day. So PMIAs are not dealing with something new. We just lack an understanding, a perspective, a context for what's happening to us. And as a result of that, be able to come up with solutions. Because as Dr. King said, we have been oppressed as a group, and we must overcome that oppression as a group. I have the joy of acknowledging on the air the birthday of Betty Lou Williams, my mom-in-law. And I am one of the men who truly loves his mom-in-law. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman. And yesterday, in fact, was her birthday. And the birthing day of my beautiful wife. Not only is she beautiful, but she's intelligent. She's creative. She's got plenty heart, plenty nerve. And in all of that brilliance, she's chosen to love me. And I want to say to her how much I love her and how wonderful it is for us to approach the problems and the challenges that we face, determined to overcome and to serve as a model to learn so that we can give back to so many others who we love. So happy birthday to Betty Lou Williams. And happy birthing day to Millie Esther Williams Bevins. Today, on the real side, part five. Understanding and Healing PMIA Survivor Syndrome. On the real side. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. Four hundred years of oppression, systematic psychological, economic, cultural, social, political subjugation has to result in significant damage to the targeted population. As Dr. Frantz Fanon established clinically in his work, Wretched of the Earth. Where as a psychiatrist, he analyzed the impact of colonization on the thinking, on the very souls of its victims. And the damage is substantial. We are charged with moving forward with our lives and modeling after arrangements and understandings that other people who haven't had our problem have set as the standard that we must aspire and emulate. In relationships, in finances, in social, in community, in neighborhood, in religion, in education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've done an extraordinary job in mimicking and coming up with facsimiles of what it is that we are charged and expected to do. But at the end of the day, we still reel from the consequences of not just having been enslaved for 300 years, but the consequences of being oppressed and enslaved to this day. But the chains are oftentimes made of gold. And the chains are sometimes shrouded in precious furs. But nonetheless, we are chained. My mission is to teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved, which has shown itself to mean that I have to go through, I have to experience, I have to understand, I have to know in order to share, in order to evolve, in order to offer answers and solutions that make sense. And one of the more difficult challenges that I have had to deal with is that of relationships, that of maintaining and nurturing relationships, relationships with my children, relationships with the mother, the mothers of my children, relationships with the relationships with those who have chosen to allow me to express what I consider to be feelings of love, desires of bonding and sharing, etc. And I have done my best in that regard, but it's not been enough. And struggling through this morass of attempts and failures and struggles, I have learned very painfully many lessons that I've been able to share. And in conversation with my nephew the other day, who was, in my opinion, simplifying life, about how to have relationships and what a relationship should look like and how one should be in a relationship. And I asked him a couple of questions, and like, when are you getting married? And he says, I ain't getting married. I said, so, well, that excludes you. You can't talk about relationships. A person who has not been in relationships can't talk about or shouldn't talk about relationships, because where the heck do they get that understanding and knowledge from? And I said to him something that I want to share with this audience today and put it out there for you to judge and for you to evaluate and see if this can be of some benefit. Because if we don't have the words, if we don't have the thought, then we can't figure things out and we can't bring about a difference. We'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Because if I can control how you think, if I can control the tools that you have to think with, which is words and concepts, etc., I can control you. And so much of what goes on repeatedly, generation after generation, in the PMIA community is just that. We keep doing the same thing over and over again because there's no new information. So what I said to Ron Dixon Nelson, what I said to him is, young man, we can't have relationships. We can't experience the relationship to where you just know that you just need to get along. You just need to understand that it's a give and take situation and blah, 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 blah. And I was sharing with him the dilemma that we face. And I use one analogy, is that when you and your woman are in the bed, how many are in that bed? And he said, two. I said, no. There's at least eight people. When you are in the bed with a woman, when you're in the bed with a man, there's at least eight people in that bed with you. There's his or her mother, his or her father, or the experience of the father, the experience of a mother, the aunts, the uncles, the big brother, big sister, sorority, all kinds of people are in that bed with you. And you think you're in that bed alone or with your woman or with your man. And you're not. You're not. And at the end of the day, what PMIAs are doing, without understanding what they're doing, what we're doing at best is managing chaos. Managing chaos. Chaos. Definition. Complete disorder and confusion. Now caused chaos. In the region, as an example. Synonyms: disorder, disarray, disorganization, confusion, mayhem, bedlam, pandemonium, havoc, turmoil, tumult, commotion, disruption, upheaval, uproar, maelstrom. Behavior so unpredictable as to appear random, owing to great sensitivity to small changes in conditions. The formless matter supposed to have existed before the creation of the universe. What are we talking about? We're talking about disorder, disarray, disorganization, confusion, mayhem, bedlam, pandemonium, havoc, turmoil, tumult, commotion, disruption, upheaval, uproar, maelstrom. That is the dominant energy that pervades relationships of PMIAs. And I maintain that this chaos is the direct consequence of our systematic and institutional oppression, miseducation, subjugation, etc. And that in order for us to move to the other side of this confusion is to understand it for what it is. That we have to come to a place of acknowledging the madness that has been inflicted upon us and stop consuming gargantuan amounts of energy pretending that we're normal, pretending that we have a right to expect of our mate, our loved ones, what is described and presented to us as normal behavior, as normal expectations, as anything that remotely resembles a model that our enemies have presented to us as normal, we must understand is unachievable. And most of the time, they're not even living it, but that's another story. But we need to understand that the consequences of being enslaved, that the consequences of being enslaved has resulted in what I'm calling a survivor syndrome. And one of the manifestations of this syndrome is the chaos all around us that we pretend not to notice, that we cause other, we give causal forces to drugs, to they're not following the word of Jesus, to whatever. When the reality is, and when the truth is, that we're dealing at best with multiple personalities, that the shit that we've gone through, the shit that we live every day, the frustration, the terror, the sadness, the frustration that we experience every single day has resulted and must result in a manifestation that is not normal, but what is it? We've got to put a name on something. You got to name it to claim it. And once we claim it, we can do something with it. We can begin to understand and evolve a sense of the other when we're talking about ourselves. I'll use myself as an example because that's part of the process. I've got to live it, experience it, and then I'll share it. And if it benefits one person, then the suffering and the sacrifice is worth it, because that's my mission. To teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved. And the consequences of being enslaved is schizophrenia. I hate to use these clinical terms, but dual personalities, dementia praecox. And we're not aware of this person for the most part. But have you ever noticed how people, when they're under the influence, they become a little or a lot unrecognizable? And you wonder where that behavior, where that personality came from? It was always there. Our mission, our challenge, is to bring out of the shadow our other selves and bring them all to the table. Bring them all to the level of conversation. Bring them all to the level of consciousness that we can talk to them, that we can recognize who they are. And very important, what they need. What they need. And because of what happened to us in our family systems, by people who loved us, by people who would give their lives for us, but people unknown to themselves were passing on the sickness that was passed on to them. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Don't let that boy get away with that. You're going to have to be hard on him, because if we're not hard on him, then we're going to leave that to the police. And if he's not in the church, if he's not brought up in the church, he's going to be a jailbird. If he's not brought up with Jesus in his heart, he's going to be a criminal. And all of the madness that has proven over and over again to be bullshit. When you go into these churches, why are there only predominantly females there? And of the female population in any congregation you want to name, there's a large percentage of those women whose sons are incarcerated, whose children are under the influence of drugs. And they were brought up in the church, but they get blamed. It's their fault because they strayed from the path. So you have to do more of what already hasn't worked. You got to pray harder, sister. You got to give more to the church, sister, so that God can heal your wounded heart, so that God can touch your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife. Without understanding what the real problem is. The real problem is that we are not aware of the impact of our enslavement, our subjugation, our oppression. And we're also not aware of our extraordinary capacity and ability to manage the chaos that has resulted. It is so, so vitally important for us to understand how this has happened. And why we must, as Dr. King said, free our own souls, our own psyches. That's where we have to start first. That's where you have to start first. We've got to love ourselves. We've got to love those who are trying desperately to love us. And to give up the game. Give up the game of pretending that we're not as messed up as we really are. And the importance of acknowledging and admiring how we individually and as a people manage the chaos in our lives. And bring together all the selves. Bring together all the people, all the spirits to focus on a solution, to focus on acceptance, to focus on the joy of the possibilities of the power that becomes ours when we acknowledge and when we understand who we are, the many who's that we are. And commit ourselves to winning by healing the consequences of having been and being enslaved and oppressed.
And you're my slave. Uh-huh, girl. lovers meet. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
Dream if you can,
courtyard, an ocean of violets in bloom. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and you.
I would just leave you standing, alone in a world that's so cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when the doves cry.
Four on the Real Side. December the 7th, 2016. I'm Emmett Obatido.
Somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High. But I want to get the language right tonight.